Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Warren Lance, and I want to welcome you to the weekly Take Action Team podcast, where each week, not only do we want to inspire you into taking action, but we really want to give you some tools to move your business forward. And let me tell you, you guys are in for an absolute treat. Because the individual I have the privilege of chatting to this evening is going to bring a completely different perspective to what you may think. This gentleman is a president of a venture capital fund, investing over $100 million in various businesses and specializing in startup in the early stages. So you think about network marketing as a brand new person, it's all about early stages and startup. And it will give you a very interesting perspective as he starts to compare the differences and the similarities between being a true entrepreneur and actually a network marketer, because it's due to his wife that he actually analyzed the industry, the profession of network marketing. So it is my absolute treat this evening to welcome Warren Burgeon to the line. Are you there, Warren?
I am here, and thank you very much for having me on, Warren.
Well, it is
a great name.
Absolutely. You couldn't have a better name than Warren, let me tell you. So, I mean, this is really different for us, because a lot of times we're interviewing network marketers, we're interviewing all sorts of different business people, but let me tell you, certainly not someone with your expertise in venture capital. And the fact that I understand that you'll have a team of associates analyzing business opportunities where you could analyze like 4,000 of them to come up with a few that you're going to actually invest the firm's money in. So, I mean, I want to jump into all that, but I think before we get into that aspect, I got to ask this question. It's been on the tip of my tongue all evening, and is how did you get involved in venture capital, I guess, fundraising and actually investing the money into different companies?
Well, I was the entrepreneur first, and I always wanted to be in business for myself. I got my business degree at the University of Saskatchewan, having come from the farm, and always wanted to be a business person, and got into sales management, thought I wanted to be a stockbroker for a while, started trading stocks until I found a technology stock that I started buying. And I fell in love with that company so much that I went and bothered them until they hired me, which then led to me starting my own technology company. And we started getting investment into the company, and eventually got a venture capital fund to invest in our company as well. And eventually we did take that company public. And it was the process of becoming invested by venture capitalists that made me really interested in the venture capital business, because they invested very differently than regular investors who simply sort of, you know, would breeze up to a company and, you know, take a look and spend maybe a day or two on it and get excited and write a check. You know, the venture capitalists were much more systematic and scientific about their investment and very much had processized how they were investing into companies.
So what would be the difference? You have some successful business person, or you have someone take a look at a business, as you said. They come in, they get excited about what you're doing. Maybe they look at inventory, they look at the financial statements, obviously, but then they stroke a check. I mean, how different is that really compared to what you said, a venture capitalist fund? You said it's very systematized. Like, what would be the difference in the as far as due diligence goes?
Well, so a venture capitalist, because they do it for a living, you know, they you work endlessly on it. So you'll spend 150 to 200 hours on any deal before you would consider investing in it. Some companies you might put on a watch list while you're waiting for things to happen or things to come together, and you get to know the people, and you know it might take up to a year before that company is ready for you to put money into it. And you know, it's about, you know, drawing a line in the sand, and because you can, you know, you're able to pick from the best of the best before you invest. And a lot of angel investors, you know, invest because they like that founder or they like that individual, and that often doesn't work. So for a venture capital fund to work, you have to become very specific about, you have to have an investment thesis. So you're going to invest in 1 in 100 or 1 in 200 companies that you might look at.
Whew. Starting to sound a little like network marketing, but a heck of a lot harder. I mean, you show it to 10 people, you're going to get one person to sign up. Here you're saying 100 to 200 to get a project that you're going to move forwards with. So a heck of a lot more due diligence, and obviously tens of millions of dollars in many cases at risk. So really apples and oranges. So I guess our call topic this evening is, what a venture capitalist sees in network marketing. And I guess, why don't we start with the aspect of why are you finding network marketing so appealing?
Well, it certainly didn't start out that way. I think most of us were skeptics before we ever took any serious look at network marketing. I certainly didn't believe that it was a viable business. You know, I thought a real business was a conventional business, and network marketing was something pretend or a hobby or a toy or a wannabe business. And, you know, I discovered that it's none of those things. And when my wife first brought me, you know, the products that she wanted to use, you know, my response was, you know, because after being a venture capitalist for so long, you get very jaded about things. And so you assume everything is a scam, or you assume everything is crap. And so, of course, my assumption is that the products are no good, and I research everything before I buy. And I said, you go ahead and you can buy them, but I'm going to go online and check it out. And I went determined to find fault and couldn't. So I went, okay, fine, go ahead, but that's for you, that's not for me.
Right. Now, and I know reluctantly, you finally agreed to go on the product, and you actually dropped 17 pounds using our nutritional cleansing system.
Well, we felt that we were clean eaters already, and you know, we were doing the proper vegetable thing and the chicken, and you won't find pop in our house, and felt that, you know, I felt that these products in packages, you know, were initially I thought they were something less than what we were already doing. And then my wife had these good results of energy and sleeping right, and I thought, all right, well, I'll try some. And what I didn't expect was that, you know, I don't know if it was after 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, I started having this energy that I didn't know that I didn't have. And I suddenly had energy to do things, and for the first time ever, I put on runners and went running. And there's a trail that runs behind our home, and we can see all the people that run and bike, and runners never look happy when they're running, and so we would always laugh at them. And then suddenly I became one of those people, and within a year I ran my first half marathon, and have run two since.
Nice. Congratulations. Congratulations. So what was your wife that really opened your eyes to network marketing. It's funny, I ran a business and I'd been approached many times to get involved in network marketing. And my belief was at the time, 12 years ago, that, I mean, it was all pretty much a scam, as you said, a pyramid scheme. And yes, that there are some legitimate ones out there, but I mean, if you wanted to make the big bucks, you either had to know the owners or get in at day one, which I didn't know the owners and I wasn't getting in at day one. But I can tell you, fast forward 12 years, my belief in this industry that is four times larger than Hollywood, it's a true profession, but it's nothing. It's just like being a real estate agent, Warren. I mean, it's a few real estate agents, or 20% of them make 80% of the money. And it's no different in this profession of network marketing. There's 20% that make 80% of the money. I mean, it's sort of a bit of an industry norm. But chat with us a little bit about your due diligence. So you started doing your due diligence on Isagenics. And
at the early stage, it was just on the product, because that's all she wanted, you know, was to bring the product into our home and into our bodies. And it was sometime after that, a few years after that, that then she came home one day and said, I think I want to do this as a business. And then I went back into diligence mode, and I went to prove that this is not a good idea. And, you know, reached out to some people that I knew had been in network marketing, and I started to understand how compensation plans worked. And I looked a lot at, you know, the leadership of the company. I looked a lot at, you know, by this time there was already a lot of information about the Isagenics company online. So there really was no shortage of information that I could look up, dig up, and wrap my head around. And what I was unable to do was come up with a reason to not do it, but still not really understanding what network marketing was, what the potential was, what the other implications of it were. And I thought, you know what, oh yeah, okay, this is fine, go ahead. And it really has taken a fair amount of time. And so now inside of Isagenics, you know, we've met all of these people who are now good friends of ours. And, you know, I'm understanding how it is that they work and the businesses that are being created, and the impact that it is having, not just for them, but for all of the people that they are helping as they build their businesses and build their businesses of their people. That I really started to fall in love with this company, not just network marketing, but this company in particular.
Yeah, there's no question. Isagenics is a special company. And I mean, I put a huge thank you to John Anderson and Jim and Kathy Coover, the founders, because right from day one, their vision for Isagenics was to create a legacy company, a company that would impact world health, and we're well underway to doing that. I mean, we've done in excess of $5 billion in sales, which is really exciting. So I guess given the fact that you spent 17 years like working with entrepreneurs and sort of how that entrepreneur mind works, how about, do you have any suggestions of ways to present network marketing to entrepreneurs to gain their attention? Because, you know, I'm going to invest in a real business and like something with brick and mortar and something that I can touch and feel. And network marketing, are you kidding me? So from your experience, knowing the mind of an entrepreneur, you've been working with them for years and years, what are some ways, or what would be some of the key phrases that you would suggest to put out there to at least gain their attention so they'd take a look?
Well, I think first of all, I'd like to talk about, you know, why people become entrepreneurs. And you know, a lot of people have a love or a passion for some particular interest, and then they want to build a business around that. And that's not a bad thing. But what they don't understand is the risk that they're taking when they strike out on their own and create a startup. And because that startup, you know, will eventually require that they leave the security of their day job, it will more than likely require that they empty their bank account of their savings, or that they mortgage their home or put a second mortgage on their home, as I've seen so many times. And it will, in so many cases, you know, I think a lot of people who go into business for the first time, they don't have sufficient appreciation for the probability of failure. And I think if they go online and look it up, I think it's pretty easy to find that over 80% of startups fail within the first 4 years. What isn't easily seen is that there's another very large percentage of companies that remain open but shouldn't. So they're just barely hanging on. They're barely making ends meet. But that's just not a successful business, and it should be closed. And a lot of times the entrepreneurs won't close those businesses because they can't summon the will to admit that they are a great jockey whipping a mule, wishing it a thoroughbred. And so the reality is that well over 90, 95% of startups fail. That's the reality. And the consequences of failing in traditional business is, as I've seen time and time again, you get these people who they reach the very end of their capacity to breathe. And you try and mentor a lot of these people, and you know the stress load that they're under, you know, the toll that it takes on the relationships. Homes are lost. A lot of times relationships blow up. The impact of startup failure is extraordinary, and we never talk about it. Instead, what we get are these very harmful mantras of never give up, which is terrible advice in startup world, traditional startup world. And you know, failure is not an option. That's the other one. That is just terrible advice, because it forces these people into these extreme situations that they would have never otherwise put themselves in, and then they inevitably lose everything. And that happens in droves, and it's happening everywhere. And
I just want to interrupt there for a second. Well, at this point, you're fully invested. I mean, I can remember when I got involved in the clothing industry, manufacturing garments, Canada, U.S., India, the Orient. I mean, getting involved in that business invested over $1 million. And in the process, not realizing it, I mean, I literally put a noose around my neck, and it was never give up. Like, failure is not an option, because to give up was to lose it all. And fast forward 13 years, I mean, I dug myself out of the hole. And then in the last 2 years, between 2002, I had 50% of the manufacturers in Canada go out of business. And by 2004, I was so upside down, it was unbelievable. But I can relate to never give up or failure is not an option, Warren. I mean, because I lived it.
Yeah, and I did too. But there's such a better way. And you know, the entrepreneurs that I coach now, you know, in the States, and particularly in southwestern states, where the entrepreneurial community is exceedingly strong down there, they will start up and fail in 2.3 years. Here in Canada, we are startup and failing in 7.6. So we are wasting an incredible amount of time. Forget the money. Money can always be lost and remade, but you can't get back that time. So once we recognize that the company that we're working on isn't working, and we've done the pivot and we've tried another strategy and it's still not working, if we are going to be very, very clinical about it and detach ourselves emotionally, and that's the biggest problem, is the emotional attachment. Because when so many of these entrepreneurs do their first startup, they attach their entire identity to that company. And if that company fails, they think then that they are a failure. If you were to Google startup and suicide, or entrepreneurship and suicide, you're astounded at how much is out there, because there's all this failure. It's inevitable. To create a startup is almost certain failure, because we know the statistics that it's over 95%. And then when it does happen, and they never imagined it would happen to them, even though statistics tell us that, yes, it will be you, then they've attached their entire personal worth to that startup. And when it fails, then they think they're a failure. And, you know, there's several talks that I give to the startup community, and I do give one just on failure. And, you know, you always have people come and talk to you after you give a talk, but the one that I get mobbed on is whenever I discuss failure, because the people come in droves. You know, I've had people tell me that they hid in their home for up to 3 years, I heard one lady tell me, after her startup failed, because she was so embarrassed and didn't want to face anyone. And it's just an incredible, it's the wrong way to look at it. And it's the time waste is just such an extraordinary loss. It's the time wasted that's much, much bigger than the money, and much, much worse for anything. Because to think that you're going to get it right the first time out is ludicrous. And that's one of the things that I love about network marketing, because let's compare the risk. I mean, in Isagenics, no one's asking you to empty your savings to start this business. No one's asking you to mortgage your home. No one's asking you to risk your relationships. The biggest risk in Isagenics is that someone is going to tell you no, and then you're going to go to the next person. Really? That's the comparison? I mean, it's not even fair. The comparison between Isagenics and conventional business is not even fair. Don't get me started. It's unbelievable.
And you're right. I mean, people come in with their value pack for around $600, and they have the opportunity to, make an extra $1,000, $2,000 a month, $5,000 or $10,000 or substantially more. It's a coefficient of how many people you're willing to talk to, and are you willing to develop the skills? Because as you said, with entrepreneurship, to jump into your very first business and think you're going to make a go of it when you've never done it before, your words, not mine, you said it was ludicrous. Well, the exact same thing. People jump into network marketing and they think, okay, here I go. And after getting a few no's, they're prepared to throw in the towel, but have they developed the skills? No, they haven't.
Right. And it's almost a shame that people don't have to buy into Isagenics to do it as a business, because then they would have some skin in the game. Right? And I think when something is free, they don't value it, because the Isagenics business opportunity is worth millions of dollars. And so many people treat it to the same extent that they've had to pay for it. They didn't pay for it, so it has no value. And so but if they were to go out and mortgage their home and buy a second cup franchise for $400,000, I have no idea what they are, and they work 16 hours a day trying to keep the place open, they know they have to because they mortgage their home over it, and that they'll hopefully eventually be able to pay down that debt. But yet in network marketing, when there's nothing paid for it, there's no skin in the game, and so we don't really have to work that hard to make it not work.
And that's so very, very true. I've seen, not in all cases, but I've seen many individuals that do come into this profession of network marketing where their back's against the wall. They've had an entrepreneurship failure. something's happened in their life where all of a sudden they're finding themselves against the eight ball. They don't have the capital behind them, and yet they will, hey, put the $600 on numerous credit cards in order to get that initial value kit, and they get to work. And given their background, given the challenges they had with traditional business, taking no's on the shoulder or on the chin, I mean, isn't really a big deal. I mean, so you say no to me, okay, next. I'm on to the next person. I mean, sooner or later you start getting some yeses and you start to develop the skills. So I agree with you. It is unfortunate that people aren't putting more skin in the game, but I can tell you those with their back against the wall and no other option come to this industry and in many cases become very successful.
Oh, I'm very glad that this opportunity exists for so, so very little for those that are really, really, really willing to commit to it. But it's the exact same set of averages, I believe, as what exists in venture capital in terms of, you know, how many businesses are worth investing in and how many people are that you're going to go talk to are actually going to become a big business builder.
Now, you were saying to me earlier, we were chatting, and you were saying that you would look at somewhere in between 2,000 to 4,000 with your venture capitalist fund. You have 3 to 5 people that will analyze 2,000 to 4,000 businesses to come up with 20 that you would invest in. Was that correct, roughly the right numbers?
Yeah, and you know, if I just talk very generally about the venture capital industry, that's just the norm, you know, that we'll invest 1 in 100. So, you know, if we take, I'll just paint some very broad brushes so that people understand what how a venture capital fund works. So, you know, let's use round numbers, and let's say that the venture fund is $100 million, and it's going to contain 20 investments or 20 companies that we've invested in. It will take, you know, somewhere between looking at somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 companies to find 20. So that is, you invest, you'd have to look at 1 to 200 companies to find one. And that would take, you know, 4 or 5 people up to 4 years to get that job done. And then out of those 20, only 2 and 4 of those 20 will be the big outperformers, and fewer than 10 will be good performers. And then you're left with a handful of companies that will either lose you some money or they'll be complete washouts. And only half of venture funds actually make money. So even with all of that filtering and due diligence, you know, the odds of, you know, finding those outperformers, now we're talking about 2 to 4 companies out of 2,000 to 4,000.
Wow.
So, you know, if we can try and draw a parallel in, you know, venture capital investing and building a network marketing business, and, you know, again, I'm very junior in my network marketing knowledge. I've seen all of the people you've had on the podcasts. And if you looked at the network marketing kitchen cupboard of my knowledge, Warren, you know, you wouldn't even find the good Kraft dinner. It would be, you know, the knockoff. but the parallel being is that, you know, to be a venture capitalist, you have to be patient, you have to be very consistent in your activity, and you have to be unwilling to be swayed by short-term reality. And you have to assume that every new entrepreneur that I go meet is my next big opportunity, even though I know that 99% of the time it's not going to be a big opportunity. But so I have to make it a game just so I can live with that kind of ratio. So I go with the right attitude to every meeting. What if this one is different? Because, you know, we flip rocks over all day, every day, and usually it's worms. But when we flip over that right rock and we find a gem, it's absolutely thrilling. And it's that thrill that keeps us going and keeps us flipping over rocks every single time. But even if it's not a gem, even if it is more worms, and I don't mean to, you know, equate entrepreneurs with worms, but you know, maybe that person might be a new friend to me. Maybe I'll learn something new and interesting, but I might not necessarily invest. And I think that, you know, the parallel then with network marketing is that you have to, you know, keep flipping over those rocks, and you keep going with the same attitude that, you know, perhaps you're going to have to talk to, you know, 2,000 people to find those 20 that are going to be your big business builders. And 2 to 4 of those 20 are going to be the real rock stars.
You know, it's so interesting because as you say that, so many individuals, at least that I've come across, if I told them that they're going to have to talk to 2,000 people to sort of get their 20, I mean, I'm telling you right now, 95% of them just wouldn't do it. I mean, they're just not prepared to talk to that many people. But the reality from what I've seen is if you're willing to be persistent and consistent, okay, you don't have to talk to the 2,000 people this month. But if you start talking to, let's say, 2 people a day, 5 days a week, that's 10, you're now all of a sudden talking to 40 people a month. And it starts to accumulate over time. The other thing that I have noticed is we get better in this industry. As we start to develop our skills, the number of people we need to talk to get a yes may go from, you know, yeah, you have to talk to 10 to get 1, all of a sudden you talk to 10 and you get 2. And after a while, I mean, to become a rock star in this industry, I mean, once you get to where you're talking to 10 and you get 3, now it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. And I can tell you from my organization, it's really just a handful of individuals under 10 that are probably responsible for 80% of my income, which is just mind-blowing. And the other thing I will share with you, Warren, is I don't even have to be the enrolling sponsor of those individuals that end up making a massive difference to my pay. Because in the industry of network marketing, I mean, we like to say every dud knows a stud. So you get in this product user that really is never going to build the business, but you get them a great product experience, and then what happens is someone they know notices, and all of a sudden they get introduced, you get connected with them, and all of a sudden the magic is happening. And it's a pretty exciting industry, but the reality is the same. I mean, most people aren't willing to go through the numbers to hit gold.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, when we were talking about you know, what it's going to take to become successful, whether it's, you know, being a conventional entrepreneur or a network marketer, who I now look at as an entrepreneur. I think every network marketer is an entrepreneur because you're building a business just like anyone else. I think the work requirement is even easier, it's less complicated in network marketing, and because so much of the of it is already done and provided for us, and it's really just our consistency and energy that we need to bring to it, or at least that's what I've been learning.
Well, I mean, you look at conventional business. I mean, you have employees. You have payroll, you have inventory, you have accounts receivable, you have all the burdens of traditional business, yet in network marketing, you virtually have none of that. Right. You just have to go out and get people interested in the business or the product and really get them on the phone with someone else and plug them into what Isagenix already has going on. I mean, it's the risk is just thousands of times less. I mean, the stress on the family, all the different aspects. If you evaluate traditional business versus network marketing, I mean, if you think about a traditional business, the fun part's making the sale. It's not all the other aspects of the business that support making that sale and making the profit. I mean, in reality, in network marketing, Isagenix takes care of the market research. They take care of the product research. They take care of the inventory. They take care of sourcing raw ingredients. They take care of manufacturing. I mean, they take care of it all, and we just get to share this incredible product, the finished product, with people where we can impact their health. I mean, we get to do the fun part. They do all the hard stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they take care of all the stuff that suck the fun out of your startup.
Wow. Well, then again, coming back, I mean, just sort of like to finish up. So if you were mentoring us, and you are, because there's going to be probably 2,000 to 4,000 people listening to this call, and we all know entrepreneurs in our community. I mean, we all know these people that are gung-ho, they have big dreams, big visions for their future. What would be some of your key things that if you were to say, Warren, you know what, if you're going to be sharing with Mark, I would be touching on these, I don't know, 3 or 4 points, whatever it may be, to get Mark's attention. Like from your experience, what would be the hot buttons to get someone to actually take a look?
Well, I would touch on risk. I would touch on, you know, just all of the things that we talked about in terms of, you know, you're going to be fully committed anyway. You might as well commit to something that isn't going to kill you if it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. Because the probability of failure in a regular startup is so high, and it requires so much of a capital risk on the part of the startup entrepreneur that they really need to very seriously look at network marketing as an alternative, because the risks are, by comparison, there are none. There are zero. You can even return the product. You know, it's the opportunity can be bounded in traditional business. If you go and you open a restaurant, let's say, and it's a 60-seat restaurant, there is a limit to how many customers you can put through in a day.
There certainly is.
Network marketing contains no limit, right? And even if you'd say, well, I'm going to open a second restaurant. Well, okay, but can you now split yourself and run 2 restaurants? No. Okay, well, now I'll hire a manager. Okay, well, it just got way more complicated. And as network marketing, you grow up with it, and so you can learn your way into the business. And the other option that people do is, well, I'm going to buy an existing business. Well, I always describe that as if you think of the business owner who is currently in that business, probably hasn't set it up properly to be sold. So that business is completely dependent on that owner in every facet of the organization. So it's almost like the clothes that they wear. That company, they wear the company. And if they're going to sell that company, they're in full sprint, and you come along and you want to buy the company. Well, while that person is sprinting, you're going to try and fit into their clothes. That's how I would compare trying to buy a company that's already existing. Because most of the time, they don't create companies that can operate without them.
Yeah, it's owner-operator. It's specialized knowledge. It's all those things. Stepping in makes it almost impossible.
Right.
Mm.
And,
wow.
And then I would ask, you know, if you're going to start up a company, you know, I would also want to know what are the other things that they want to accomplish in their life. And, you know, I would get a little bit philosophical with them, because do you also like to help people? One of the things I've learned about network marketing is that I have started to shift the idea of who I admire in business in the last year. And it used to be that I admired other venture capitalists who had been really successful, and I admired other entrepreneurs who had been very successful. You know, and currently I look at people like Elon Musk as, I mean, he is the entrepreneur of our generation. Richard Branson, another incredible example, literally changing, you know, the world. Elon Musk isn't someone that you want to get to know. Those kinds of people with such a singular and massive vision simply have no time. They're difficult to work for. I just finished reading his a biography on Elon Musk. Difficult to be around, difficult to work for, impossible to be married to. And most entrepreneurs, when they become successful, you know, it becomes a very good exit for them and for very few other people.
Right.
In network marketing, the people who become very, very successful only do so because they were able to help an enormous amount of other people. And, you know, once in a while you find entrepreneurs... Pardon me, I'm just going to have a drink of water here. Once in a while, you find entrepreneurs that are incredibly generous. You know, I think Bill Gates has demonstrated that.
Certainly.
But that's not typical. But where you see smaller examples of it is, so here in Edmonton, there was a very successful business owner. His name was Bill Comrie. He was the founder of The Brick. He sold his company for $440 million, something in that neighborhood. And after the sale, you know, he took $40 million and he gifted it to his employees.
Very generous.
Exceedingly generous. Now, he had 5,700 employees. So if you divide $40 million among 5,700 employees, on average, it worked out to about $7,000. And at this event where all these checks were handed out to, I mean, people were bursting into tears and they were sobbing and it was exceedingly emotional and it became a big media event. Pardon me. And, you know, he, and quite rightly, you know, was identified as of being pure and of golden heart for doing this. But someone making an extra $7,000 in network marketing is just getting going. And so the people that I admire now are the people who have helped enormous groups of people do everything from getting their food and their car payments paid for to completely, you know, replacing their incomes and setting them on a path for an epic life. And the ability to have that kind of impact is unparalleled. I don't know where else you see that.
Well,
so the people that
from personal experience.
Now are the people that I admire now are people like Warren Lance and the other people in this company that have done this for so many others.
It's an incredible feeling. Let me tell you, when you speak belief into people where they don't believe, yet they'll believe in what I have to say, and it's enough to get them going. And then you start building on these little wins, and they start to develop this little organization. And then it begins to grow, and as you said, all of a sudden they're getting their product for free, and then their car payment, and then their mortgage, and at that point there's no stopping them. And it's one of the most rewarding feelings in the world. I can tell you that I have a successful business friend of mine that just doesn't get it. He goes, for the longest time, he didn't believe you could make money in the industry. And now he's aware that I'm blessed to have a seven-figure income. And he's just like, why are you going to Australia again, Warren? He goes, if I was making what you were making, you know, I'd be on some Caribbean island and no one would ever hear or see from me again. And I'm just going, oh, you don't get it. When I go down there and make a difference, it recharges my spirit. It fuels my soul. I know I'm making a difference. I'm having an impact. And it's not work. It's a passion. It's so incredible. But I just got to say, Warren, thank you so much for sharing with us this evening. And you're right. The average entrepreneur, if they really realized what we had in the profession of network marketing, especially in Isagenix, oh my goodness, because Isagenix, as you said, is doing it all. We just need to do the work part of sharing the product. Let the product speak for itself, but we got to at least get out there and share it. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was an absolute treat this evening. And if anyone wants to listen to this recording, there's three ways in which you can access it. One, you can go to takeactionteam.com, and just at the bottom of the page here, you can subscribe to the email list, and Katie will send out the recording to you. Two, you can go download Podomatic from the App Store, and you can follow the Take Action team off of the Podomatic player, and you'll get the recording sent to your smart device. Or again, Facebook, just Take Action Team on Facebook, and you can access the recordings there. But again, Warren, thank you so much for really sharing a different perspective of, I guess, the venture capital world versus the profession of network marketing. It's been an absolute treat.
Always fun to talk to you, Warren.
Okay. Well, you take care, and we'll talk soon. Good night, everyone, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.